Hello, friends, and welcome to Recovery Radio. This is Radio Johnny from the Latah Recovery Center. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center, located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, and hope for continuing recovery. Today's show was recorded prior to our annual fundraising event at the Best Western Plus University Inn. But at the time of this recording, we had already received donations in excess of $25,000. I'll have an update on the next episode to bring you the final total. If you weren't able to make it to the event, you can see it on YouTube by searching Latah Recovery Center on YouTube. And I want to thank this year's business supporters, including Optum Insurance, Gritman Medical Center, and Flowers by Roxanne, and too many more to mention. Also coming up next week on March 9th at 5:30 p.m., Siri Stensberg will be putting on another art workshop, and this one is on color. The workshop is free, open to all, and all supplies are provided. And finally, don't forget you can access this and past Recovery Radio shows from the LRC website and as podcasts on iTunes and Google Play. And now here's this week's Recovery Radio interview. Hey, everybody. This is Radio Johnny at KRFP 90.3 in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. And this is Recovery Radio. And the conference room with me today is my partner in crime, Denise.
Hello, Johnny. Hello, everyone.
Hey. And our show today is about a program that's going on over at WSU called Cougs for Recovery. And to give you a little background, a very little background, Cougs for Recovery is a student organization at Washington State University in Pullman that supports students in recovery. And it basically was founded in 2018 by Jonathan Wallace and Noel Vess. A little update on what's going on over there before we get to the interview. Is recently Cougar Health Services at WSU has been awarded a $500,000 grant to help colleges and university across the state bolster support for students in recovery from alcohol and drug addiction. The grant is provided by the Washington State Healthcare Authority and charges WSU with identifying best practices, developing campus and community resources, providing training, and creating virtual learning communities that will help higher education institutions create their own recovery programs. The grant provides $260,000 for these efforts, which includes a statewide evaluation of collegiate recovery support services and the development of a webpage to help disseminate grant deliverables. The remainder of the award, about $240,000, is going directly to select institutions, including WSU Pullman, in the form of seed grants. The seed grants, valued at $60,000 each, will help colleges and universities create and launch their own recovery support services. And of course, Cougs for Recovery will be the beneficiary of some of that money, we hope. And today, we're very pleased to have two of the Cougs for Recovery participants with us via Zoom. And welcome to Cora and Jennifer.
Thank you.
I thought we'd start out with Jennifer for a little bit. And Jennifer, could you share a little bit about C4R, as we'll call it, Cougs for Recovery, and maybe share a little bit of your recovery story?
Sure. So I became a part of Kooks for Recovery after being a little over 6 months clean. And I was, prior to that, a Cougar alumni, believe it or not, who fell short and found, I found myself on the street in Spokane for about two and a half years, struggling just like a lot of addicts struggle. And when I finally made it a point to go into admission for with WSU, they accepted me, and you know, I was still in active relapse. And and so about 6 months before I decided to come back to Pullman, I came to terms with my addiction, and you know, I came to Pullman and thankfully started WSU and got an apartment and found Kooks for Recovery. The group meets every week, and we share each other's stories, and we share our recovery, you know, one day at a time.
Fabulous. And do you happen to have the, you say you meet, do you meet in a physical place, or is it virtual like so many things right now?
Currently we're meeting on Zoom, but I do believe that we have intention to meet, you know, on campus. There's a lot of things that are in the works. I'm still very new, and so wouldn't be the person to ask, but I know through a little bit of research online and through my interactions with the leadership of Kooks for Recovery, I know there's a lot of things that are on the plate that are in the works, and I'm really excited to be a part of this opportunity.
And I know that Kooks for Recovery has several internet presences, including Facebook, I think I saw Twitter, and probably Instagram as well.
Yeah, well, you know, reaching out to the community of students and returning students and even alumni on online is really important. I think that the social networking through Twitter and Facebook and Instagram is still, you know, in the beginning stages, even though they've been, you know, in operation for a while. And it's just reaching out to the community, you know, reaching out to the students and letting them know that that Kooks for Recovery exists. And there's people like me, you know, who I'm super grateful to have stumbled onto the program, and, you know, to find people that are struggling with the education aspect of going to school and to be in recovery. It's a really difficult process, you know, just going through recovery or just going to school in and of itself, one or the other is difficult, let alone both. So I think it's important to reach out to those students, and that's how they're doing it right now.
Yeah, you can't beat the interwebs as far as, you know, getting information out. Yeah, we actually, this program goes out and is uploaded to our Latah Recovery Center website, and it's picked up from there and goes out to iTunes and Google Play. And we get some pretty good response to it. So yeah, I totally get that. Jennifer, would you like to share a little bit about your recovery story, you know, in general, what it was like, what happened, and what your life is like now?
Sure. You know, I have been in active recovery for about a year and a half, but also active relapse. Being homeless on the streets wasn't easy, and it didn't come initially, you know, immediate. It was a gradual decline. You know, I was, I had a great job, and, you know, I had a lot of different things happen, and it was a slippery slope. And the next thing I knew, just a couple of decisions, you know, is all I had to make to find myself financially in a position where, with COVID and with the employment rates, or unemployment rates, I should say, as they were, it was really difficult for me to find work. And that made it more slippery. And that's when I found myself, you know, homeless and looking for work and not being able to find it. And then I was focused on trying to save myself, to survive, you know, looking for food, looking for water, looking for shelter, all those things that, you know, we take for granted. And through my recovery, you know, I was able to notice, you know, where I needed to pick myself up off the ground. And when I looked around, you know, I realized that, you know, I was not meant to be, you know, on the street. And that's when I searched for my education. You know, I realized that in the turmoil of COVID, you know, where people were sheltering in place and I didn't have a shelter, that there was, I could either, you know, get busy living or get busy dying, as you would say. And I decided to get busy living. And that's when I decided to go back to WSU and learn something, you know, because clearly I was falling through the cracks and my addiction was making me fall short of myself and my own expectations. And so that began the journey, you know, to recovery. And I found different programs and through like NA and through my IOP and through Kooks for Recovery. And that has given me some stability today that I didn't have before. And I thank God for my capabilities and the talents that I have now and the confidence to follow through on those. And that came through my recovery. And through these last 6 months, there's been quite the process and removal of all the old clutter and revisiting of old emotions. And, you know, and that brings up a lot of things. I'm not saying that recovery is easy because it's not. It's extremely difficult. Relapse is part of my history, part of my story. But today I'm learning about emotions and I'm learning, you know, all of these things. And I'm super grateful for having the wherewithal and the understanding of, you know, those emotions and to be able to process those. And God willing, you know, every day I take one step further into that recovery. So yeah, I'm here and getting my education back in order.
That's awesome, Jennifer. I love how you went from, it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, that you went from not having a home to you then enrolled in school and came back here and started school. Is that
yes,
correct?
That's you awesome. Got it.
Wow. Okay. That's heartwarming. That's awesome. So happy for you.
Thank you.
That's a great, great step. It's beautiful. Yeah.
And when you said recovery is not easy, of course, Denise and I, I'm sure, can both relate to that. I'm in recovery from alcoholism and Denise from opioids. You know, I've got more than a few 24 hours under my belt, but even, you know, years down the road, those you talk about relapse. I was the relapse kid. there was even kind of a joke in the AA community I started out in, you know, it's a relapse Johnny. And, you know, it was that kind of loving kidding, but that constant reminder that, hey, you know, if you want to work the program, work the program. And, but hey, who knew, you know, I you know, went through AA 12-step program. I actually worked the steps. I actually got a sponsor and I was actually able to string together a day, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months. And here I am years down the road, just kind of amazed at myself. But you have to hit that turning point. And I guess, you know, life on the streets and the desperation of COVID and whatnot, sounded like that was where you hit your turning point.
Yeah, absolutely. I also didn't have a sponsor and I truly believed in accountability at that point. I needed to have a team of people. And so I gathered up an army of people around me in support of my recovery. Mm-hmm. And even then I relapsed and it wasn't until, you know, I really, decided to go back to school and I put my all into it that I was able to step up from the street.
Absolutely. So boy, that accountability and like a team of people. So, I've been in recovery for 7 years and 7 years ago, I entered into the Latah County Drug Court Program. And that's exactly what I got. I got a team of people willing to come around me and show me the way, everything from, you know, learning how to be responsible of taking care of myself and a schedule and all the things that I needed to understand, being able to process my emotions and just be around safe, healthy people. And it was like an army of adults that were walking things out correctly, showing me the way. And then in the classes that I took 5 days a week and all of the NA, the 90 and 90, you know, being able to be in rooms and understanding that what I was going through, so many other people were. I was not different or unique from what other people were going through. This was definitely a thing. And so it was then easier to dive in and understand, okay, so this is the way. And there was just people all around me showing me how you walk forward, you know, and regain life again. So I love that you share that. Yeah, it's just like a team, an army of people, because you can't do it on your own. You need the accountability and support. It's just crucial. I love that you found that. And that's amazing.
Yeah. And you're just 6 months in is what I picked up on you from there. And I tell you what, congratulations. Yes, that's congratulations. A long damn time to be sober.
Thank you. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But it's worth it. It's worth it. And that was the first, you know, big improvement was, you know, my capacity and my capability of saying I'm worth it. And, you know, to get to that point, it took a lot of, you know, feeling like I wasn't worth it. And I think one of the best things that somebody told me ever was that not only do I no longer have to do anything, I get to. And the one thing I don't have to do, though, is drugs ever again.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Why don't we shift gears here? And thank you, Jennifer. And we'll come back to you in a bit, but I want to get Cora in here a little bit. Cora, can you share with us about a little bit about your experience with C4R, and then maybe go into your recovery story like Jennifer did?
Yeah, for sure. So I found Cooks for Recovery my freshman year of college. I had been only a few months sober by then. I'm currently, I'll be 2 years sober this April.
Congratulations.
And originally, I could not find really any recovery services at first because they were so new and so small. But eventually I found just one little dude at a booth that had Cooks for Recovery on it. I was so happy. I had actually been able to find some resources. And the first time I went to the meeting, when we were still in person, when we were still in Pullman, they had meetings in the Cub, which is the main center for really anything, just a little conference room in the Cub. And they had just two guys in there. One of them was actually a guy from the, he was actually kind of the lunch lady, if you like to put it. He was an older gentleman who was just, he heard about the program. He wasn't even actually a student. He just pretty much, it was me, another student, and this guy who actually worked at WSU, and I was able to find community there because, I mean, WSU is a really big party school. So it was really hard for me at first to get used to that. And having meetings every week was crucial. And especially with me having some definite mental health issues triggered or caused by my addiction, it was absolutely critical. For me, otherwise, I honestly don't know how I would have stayed in college. It was really difficult, especially the first year. I did all right overall, but Cooks for Recovery really was my crutch. Even though it was so small, just having somebody, anybody there, I mean, Cooks for Recovery has never been this big. I since I've been here for so long, we've only had a handful of people, but those handful of people have made all the difference in the world. And especially with new additions like Jennifer have been absolutely fantastic. I mean, we would have sometimes just me and two other people and we're just like, oh, it's the group, it's the friends.
Yeah.
But now we have at least 6, 7 now that can attend the meetings and it's absolutely wonderful.
Nice.
That's fabulous. Yeah. And hopefully this show, when it goes out, I know our station reaches out to all the way to Pullman and sometimes mm-hmm. beyond.
Sometimes the upper parts of even down south up in the mountains.
So. Yeah, it's amazing on the right day.
Yep.
Also, this will be available on iTunes and Google Play. And hopefully, one of the reasons I wanted to do this with y'all was to for sure get the word out. And, I had a good friend in the AA program who actually came to AA because on Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, when he was still in a kind of a drunken haze from the night before, he would listen to this AA on the radio back on the East Coast. So you never know what a little bit of outreach can do. Mm-hmm. And and attracting people in. I was talking with John about this the other day, John Wallace, one of the founders of your program. It's really tough. AA and NA have a process of attraction rather than promotion. But sometimes I think it's just good to have people on the air that are in the program that can say, hey, here was my situation and look where I am now. There's the old story about the drunk is in the down in the pit and he's digging deeper and deeper. And a doctor comes up and he says, hey, I can treat you for this problem. And the drunk just keeps digging. And then a psychologist comes up and says, hey, I can help you with this problem. And he just shakes his head and keeps digging. And finally, another drunk comes along who's been to AA and he jumps into the hole and says, quit digging. Come on, I know the way out. So that thought of community and how, the accountability and all that that goes with it. Yeah, that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of small groups. So 3, 6, those that could be a good thing. You start to get to know each other really well and be supportive for each other. I think that's really helpful.
Oh, so, definitely.
Can you give us a little backstory about yourself before recovery? What did it look like before recovery a couple of years ago?
Oh boy.
I know, right?
So we have time.
I was still in high school. I had a really big problem with my mental health. I used every day, every night, every morning, as much as I could. And I got to the point where I had, I was almost admitted to two different facilities at least a few times. I got to the point where I would wake up in places and I'd just be like, how the hell did I get here? I never really saw it as a problem until I really had an ultimatum with my family. And they said, if you stay sober, you need to stay with us. You need to stay sober. And I, of course, as kids do, or, as people in recovery do, you don't feel like, you feel like you need to use sometimes. So I jumped out a window and I went and I used, and I almost regretted it immediately. And I went to go ask, at the time, my foster sister was living in the same house as me. And I was super upset and I was like, oh, I need to talk to her. I need to talk to somebody. And I heard music from her room. I was just like, oh, yay, she's home. And I opened the door and it was completely dark and there was no one there. And that's that really hit me as I need to stop. I have a problem. Something is wrong. It was terrifying. I definitely had some people who pulled me back for sure, but I've cut them out ever since. And now I'm 2 years sober and I'm almost a junior in college and I've never been healthier.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, congratulations. Yeah, 2 years. That's
good.
That's getting down the road a ways. Mm-hmm. It's always
definitely a habit of being in recovery. There you go.
That's it. You got to stay there.
Yep. Keep hanging in there. Nice.
We understand that WSU has as part of that program I was talking about before, that's the grant that's been given by Washington State Healthcare Authority. As part of that, as part of the seed grant that WSU is getting, they're going to have a new scholarship, has been created actually, to recognize academic achievements of students in recovery. And evidently there are 10 Cougs for Recovery Scholarship for $1,000 each. Hmm. It says students have till February 15th to apply. Have you both, Jennifer and Cora, applied for such scholarships?
Yes, we are recipients of those scholarships.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations. That's great. Good deal.
Fabulous. One would think that would create some attraction for some more folks out there once the word gets out.
Mm-hmm. Also, it definitely helps with the finances.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, personal benefits and then financial benefits. That's really good. It all around helps, you know, you want to stay going strong in the right direction. That's good.
Yeah. Definitely. It's not that money can cure a disease, no. But it definitely doesn't suck to be able to have food on the table, yeah, and a roof over your
and
head.
Also, a little recognition is nice. I mean, it's, you know, not something that happens necessarily all the time, but it is nice in whatever kind of way the school is, you know, doing that. That's good. And then there's, you know, recognition from your fellow accountability people and just, I don't know, just life stuff starts getting better as well. And so I think it is good to get that kind of feedback, whether it's verbal from people that know you and see how you're doing, family, friends, accountability people, or things like, you know, the school doing grants and stuff. I think that's all good positive things. And I think that's part of the support of recovery, is to get a little recognition here and there about the challenges and things that you're overcoming. And it's good.
Yeah. It absolutely is. Jennifer, you want to talk a little bit about, I know you kind of shared your story and where you are now, but what does a sober day being a student look like for you these days?
Well, these days, and I would assume that later it'll look a little bit different, but right now I do a lot of Zoom, and while I'm doing Zoom, I am trying to do my IOPs and or my IOP and my my other group meetings as well in support of my recovery. And I'm using the school activities like my coursework to actually work out my recovery, to process emotion and current mindset. I'm doing some creative writing. And I'm also taking a publishing course, which will later on give me more voice and focus on my recovery so that I can share my message with people. You know, I believe that the opposite of addiction is connection. And one of the things that the scholarship has benefited me in terms of that connection is the ability to give me a voice and to do things like this. We're encouraged to go to various conventions and various recovery meetings online. And so I do that in addition to my schoolwork. And so basically most of my day is spent in front of the computer. And when I take the time to go spend on myself, I walk down to the grocery store or, you know, take a walk around campus and get to see the beauty of WSU.
Well, and to let you know, I mean, take a walk across the state line. There are actual live in-person meetings over here at Latah Recovery Center. Just a hint. Don't stop going. Like I'm
we don't want you to stop going to the Cougs for Recovery. We're just saying, if you need more, you can come over here too.
All right,
you can, you know, be like, hey, you guys come over here and or zoom into our, you know, Cougs for Recovery once. Too.
Absolutely. And Cora, how does recovery look for you on a day-to-day basis? How's your life been?
Well, it's certainly a lot harder being home, I want to say, since I'm not actually out of my in Pullman. It was definitely, I feel, a little easier because a lot of places for me are now kind of associated with using. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's for some people, but... being home, I usually in Pullman, no day was similar on campus. There was always something different, I feel like. But now that I'm home, there's a lot of just having the courage to really get up, do a routine, and make sure that I don't fall back into old habits, especially with just being in places that remind me so dearly of using and how it was to be under the influence. But usually I wake up, I have a little cat that greets me in the morning who's kind of a pain, but I love her. And usually work out the day and then go back to bed. Usually, I mean, but that's pretty much everybody's experience currently during COVID. But I mean, Pullman was certainly a lot more walking around, but it was usually the same.
Yeah, state of Washington with the heavy COVID restrictions they've had there. It's, yeah, I can only imagine.
You're all probably home and online, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, most definitely.
Okay, yeah, so we're not. So that's why I was like, okay, she's doing online schooling. I mean, you have the option here of doing online schooling. I think my son is... doing one class. He was ready to graduate in December. I think he took one more class so he could hopefully maybe walk and do graduation because his girlfriend is going to be graduating in the spring as well. And so, you know,
I
thought, you know, how hard that would be to like, you get through all your school, you get through all your college and then you can't walk.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's just doing one more class, but yeah, I think he's done online just because he only had a couple of classes finishing up as a senior. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And where is, for our audience, if I didn't mention it, we're doing this these interviews via Zoom. Mm-hmm. Where's home, Cora?
Seattle.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I live on the south. It's definitely I gotta say the food's a little better over here.
I've heard good things about the food over there too. In fact, yeah.
I love, I have a friend who lives in Seattle up in Queen Anne, and whenever we have a chance, we will run over there. It's kind of sad with what's going on downtown now, because I remember it from years ago and how gorgeous it was, and hopefully things will get better with that, but
yeah
definitely, Seattle's about as far away as you can get from Pullman without getting wet, at least going that direction.
And Jennifer, are you in Pullman on campus?
I am in Pullman, you know, but the beauty of Zoom and Cougs for Recovery is wherever WSU is, Cougs for Recovery is. So,
right.
So I get to meet with Cora, you know, whenever there are meetings and I've gotten to know her a bit. And so that makes Pullman a little bit wider, you
right.
know, a little more global.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if either one of you have the answer to this, but I'll throw it out there. Now, I know Noel Vess, who was also a co-founder with John Wallace, he was a doctoral student or candidate at that time, back in 2018. And John has told me he's doing big things down at Stanford right now. But
oh, yeah.
What about the other WSU campuses around state? Do you guys have the opportunity to hear from people who are in the medical program up in Spokane or any of the other remote locations?
Unfortunately, I can answer this one. Sorry. Unfortunately, the exception for Noel, and we also have another associate who is a professor. Except for Noel, we don't have many people who are tuning in from other campuses. I think it's just due to lack of knowledge. I mean, it's really hard to get a group email out to WSU students. But I mean, having Noel all the way in California tuning in always means a lot. He's certainly an absolute success story, and he's a really great guy.
John shared with me a little bit about not only his story, but a little bit about Noel, and pretty amazing considering where he came from in his addiction and what he's been able to achieve in sobriety. I always love a success story like that.
Brings a lot of hope.
Not as much as somebody who can stay sober for a day. That's a real success story to me. But to show that, you know, there's hope. There's hope after, you know, after addiction. You're not stuck in that meat grinder forever. You know, there's hope to go on. And I guess that's a good place to ask this question. Jennifer, where are you planning on going in your life?
Oh, gosh, that's a big question. I've begun my focus from just for living today to having tomorrows. And that's a big step. And my tomorrows are really open. I'm developing my purpose as we speak. I've got a lot of vision for the future, and I'm really excited to be, you know, a part of a program like this, because there aren't too many programs at schools. If you go onto Google and you take a look for yourself, you know, it's a brand, you know, it's basically, you know, we're on the forefront of something, you know, of that connectedness that I was talking about. So my future goals beyond today and beyond my writing and, you know, potentially publishing, which is way far in the future, is, you know, just trying to find the ways in which I can serve and be useful and have that purpose. And Cougs for Recovery has brought some of that to me. So,
wow. Well, at 6 months in, into a serious recovery, that's probably, as aggressive as I would care to be. I can remember just the idea of getting up and going out and finding a job was, you know, that was a huge to-do list for me early in recovery. But you know, it was kind of amazing. I had reached this resolve that I felt after, I don't know, a month or so of total abstinence and being in the Alcoholics Anonymous program. I went out on my French porch and was having a cigarette one morning, and a fellow who was renting a room from us was on his way out to work, and he said, "What are you up to?" And I go, "Well, I gotta start looking for a job." And he said, "Well, here's my boss's card. Call him. You're always, you know, looking for people, and you know which end of the screwdriver to hammer with." So I finished my cigarette, made the phone call, went in that afternoon, interviewed, and I was on ladders that night redoing lighting systems. The old story about man makes plans and God laughs, but you know, all I had to do was be willing, and it sort of happened. So what about you, Cora? What does your future look like as far as you can see right now?
Well, as far as I can see, I'm currently majoring in computer science. I don't really know what it has in store for me, honestly. But I definitely hope to be working at a nice little company job, maybe with some snacks. I would be okay with that.
I work for food.
A cozy little desk job, and they give me food. That sounds just the dream to me.
Yeah, that was my requirement. You know, I had to be able to afford to eat, because it was amazing. You know, having spent years taking all my calories through alcohol, I found out in sobriety I really liked food. Mm-hmm. I could really do food.
It's amazing what happens when you stop all like the appetite suppressants. I quit smoking a couple years ago, and now, you know, I'm all nicotine free and everything. Food tastes amazing.
It's even better when you know how to cook it.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, you guys, you know, we're about reaching the end of our time here. I just want to give you guys the opportunity to share any final thoughts you may have, or, you know, wishes or shout outs or whatever you would like to do. So
Mike's yours.
Why don't we start out with Cora?
Yeah, sure. Well, first things first, if you want to join our Kooks for Recovery Zoom meetings, they're on Wednesdays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm not good with time zones. And you can find the Zoom link on our Facebook page for Kooks for Recovery.
Okay.
Other than that, it's been an absolute pleasure being on a talk with you guys. You've been absolutely great hosts.
Thank you. We're so glad you could join us.
Thank you. And you said 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday?
Oh, 3:30. Sorry.
3:30. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. And Jennifer?
You know, thank you for having me. I'm grateful for this experience. Yes, it's at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. And, you know, I just want to remind everyone who is experiencing this struggle called addiction and substance use disorder is not uncommon. And if there's students out there that are struggling and going through this, they're not alone. They don't have to battle this alone. And that we are here, you know, Kooks for Recovery is here, and I offer them the hope and the progress, you know, hope for progress.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And that's a little bit of service work you did right there.
Absolutely.
I like how you worked. I like how you think. Mm-hmm. That's fabulous.
Me too. I'm glad that I can think these days.
There you go. Well, Denise, thank you for coming in today and helping out with this interview.
Well, and Johnny, thank you for what you always do. He's like the organization guy who gets all the things ready and the computers and the stuff and the editing and rounds up people. And then I just get to show up, sit down, and do the fun part. So
well, there's
I appreciate you, Johnny.
There's a reason I refer to you as the talent. Because I have some skills, but you got the talent. You know how to talk to people.
So nice.
So anyway, and thank you again to Jennifer and Cora. And, you know, maybe we'll get back together with you guys down the road a little bit and check in with you and see how things are going with the Kooks for Recovery and your own personal journeys.
Yep, updates are always good.
That's right. So
absolutely.
We'll look forward to hearing from you again. And I'll close it off like I usually do. You know, if you think you have a problem with drugs or alcohol, you do.